We do want to welcome everybody that's joining us at all our different locations. Great to have you with us today, and everybody that's joining us online, and of course everybody here at the Gardens campus, God bless you. It is great to be together to worship, to connect right now, and just take this time to celebrate that Jesus is in the house. How great is that? Yeah. And this weekend, Joyce is in the house. So you got Joyce and Jesus. That kind of works good together. We are honored, Dave and Joyce, that you are with us. And you're going to have a great word here from Joyce in just a couple minutes. And just prepare your hearts for what the Lord wants to impart to you today through that time. What we're doing together is very significant. The Bible says as we come in together and we read scripture and we sing these songs, which really are just scriptures back to God, and we hear the word of God preached over our lives, that all of that is worship. And the Bible also tells us that what we're getting ready to do right now in our act of giving is an act of worship to God. It's actually saying, God, we recognize that everything good in our life has come from you. We recognize that you are our source, that you are our provider. And we honor you by giving back to you in this time. There's a verse of scripture I've been looking at this week, and it's out of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. I believe they have it on the screens. It says this: honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Honor the Lord with the best part of everything you produce. You know, we're in a series right now called Spheres. And this series is all about you stepping into your sphere of influence where God has placed you, and being who God's called you to be, to make a difference in your sphere. If it's education, or it's government, or it's stay-at-home mom, or you're semi-retired, whatever your sphere of influence is, that you would use it for God. You've been created by a creator to create, to produce. And so what this verse tells me is that we can take what we produce and what we create, and when we honor God by giving that back to him, he blesses it. We've been learning last week that our work is from God and our work is for God. And so whatever we put our hands to, whatever you put your hands to, it is from God and it is for God. And when we recognize that in our life, every part of our life is an act of worship to God. So Monday is just as sacred as Sunday, because you are honoring God with everything you have. And when we take what we produce and give back to him, the Bible says right here that this is a way that we honor God for who he is in our life. So ushers at all our campus locations, if you come forward, we're gonna give our offerings today. And there's many ways you can jump in and be a part of this. There's envelopes there. For those of you online, you can jump in and be a part. But let's take a moment just to recognize, God, every good thing has come from your hand, and we worship you in this time together. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we bless you. In this time, we just recognize that you are the giver of every good gift, and you have blessed us with so much. And so we just pray that, God, you would take what we create and produce, and that you would give it back to you. You would bless it and use it for your purposes, and we would honor you for who you are in our life. We pray these prayers in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. There are a couple great things happening at our church, and we want you to watch this. And then Joyce is, she's ready to go. So when she gets on this platform, you let her know you're glad she's here today. All right. God bless you, church.
Christ Fellowship, I'm Anthony Evans.
And I'm Priscilla Shire.
And we cannot wait to be with you on March 25th for
the Ferment event. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have to come together with you to worship God in spirit and in truth, and to dive deeply into his word together. It's going to be an event I think that's going to impact our lives forever.
It is. And what you don't know about Christ Fellowship is I used to go to this church and sing way back in the truth days. So I get to, I was there first. We're siblings, so that kind of, you know, still happens. I was there first, and I get to introduce you to my friends at Christ Fellowship.
Well, okay then. I'm glad to come back with him. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, on March 25th, we'll be there again. And all you have to do is go to theferventtour.com to register right now. We'll see you very soon. Ever be on my lips, ever be
on my lips. How y'all doing?
Welcome.
Doing good?
Doing good.
Yeah,
have a seat.
Vision Weekend is going to be a great weekend around our church as we just take time to unpack what God is calling us to do together as a church in this region and around the world.
And when I look back at some of the vision Sundays that we've had in the past, the times that we've cast vision, and now we're actually living out that vision. Every time that we've launched a campus in a new region, we have seen hundreds, even thousands of people who had no idea of the amazing life that Jesus came to give them. And we've watched them come to the doors and experience the life that God has for them.
God has revealed to us that this next season is truly going to be the greatest season that our church has ever walked through. It's going to be a season of exponential increase, that God's going to be doing more than we had ever thought, ever imagined. I think that's why we want everybody to join with us on March 11th and 12th. It's Vision Weekend, and they're going to see how they are a part of what God is wanting to do in this region.
And this is something that we get to do together. We don't want people to miss out on it. So we can't wait to see everyone there.
Feet and help me welcome and honor Joyce Meyer to the house today. Come on.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. You can be seated. Hey, how's everybody? Well, I'm doing good too. So you're good and I'm good and we can have a good time tonight. Amen. Hey, you know, you're part of a great church here. Did you know that? Really an awesome church. We've been in ministry for 41 years, and so during that period of time, obviously, you've had an opportunity to have contact with a lot of different churches, and this is one of the best ones that I've seen. There's lots of good churches, but there's a lot of churches I wouldn't want to be part of, and I'm very grateful that they do the outreach that they do, because I believe that that's what God wants us to do. I don't think we're called to inreach. I think we're called to outreach. Amen? So, well, I'm going to go ahead and dive into the Word. So, Father, we thank you for the Word tonight and all that you want to speak to the people. And I pray that you'd bring out of me exactly what you want and that everybody would receive exactly what they need. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have about a 15-point message, which obviously I won't get through. So we're going to believe God for a lot of wisdom up here and that the right stuff will come out at the right time. I want to talk to you tonight about the value of experience. The value of experience. You know, I think Todd said something a while ago about having greater influence. But you know what? If you want to have greater influence up here, you got to have more experience down here. A lot of people want to go on to another level, but they haven't learned what they need to learn on the other level. And I know even from being in ministry that God promotes us in degrees. Our journey with Him is in degrees. And I taught home Bible studies for 5 years, had 25, 30 people a week. 2.5 years into that, we added a second one, and did that for 5 years. Didn't make any money for it. Had financial needs. Got the house ready. Cleaned it up when the people were gone. Nobody seemed to, you know, think about doing anything. They just come and enjoy and go and come and enjoy and go. And then for a year, I did nothing. And I felt like that God said, "Behold, I do a new thing." And so I was expecting promotion in the next, you know, day or two, like, oh boy, now we're going to go to the world. And for a year, I did absolutely nothing. And that was probably one of the hardest years of my life, because when you really believe that God has called you to do something and there's no doors opening, that's a time of purification of what God has for you. But I did learn something very valuable that year, and it was something that I had to learn before God could give me the next level of influence that He had for me. And what I had to learn was that I had to be myself. I couldn't be somebody else. And there's a lot of things that happened that I don't have time to tell you about. But I actually went through some real experiences. Just one thing I'll tell you quickly. My neighbor next door was a real artsy, crafty woman. And I just really wasn't. And she painted the house. She mowed the grass. She sewed her family's clothes. She had a garden. And I just didn't want to do any of that. But the devil convinced me that I was not a regular woman. Is there any woman in this house that the devil's ever told you you're a little bit odd, a little bit strange, not like other people? And so I spent a year trying to be the world's version of a normal woman. And it just didn't work for me. You know, I'm a good wife, but I'm not a normal wife. I'm a good mother, but I'm not a normal mother. Sometimes when you're called to do something that's out of the ordinary, you can't always behave like everybody else does. And many times you'll get judged and criticized for that. So I had to learn during that year that no matter what everybody else thought, I had to be me. And so I just want to encourage somebody here tonight, stop trying to be somebody else. God's never going to help you do that. He wants you to be you. And if that means you're not like everybody else, that's okay. As long as you're following God, you don't have to worry about following people. Well, at the end of that year, I went to work at a church in our city that had just started, had about 30 people. And about 5 or 6 months into going to church there, they asked me if I would start a ladies' meeting, which I really didn't because I felt like I was called to go around the world and just teach everybody. But you don't get to, you know, when we get a dream from God, we see the end of it. But you don't realize how many steps you got to take to get there. And so I worked for another man for 5 years. He was 26, I was 36. We both thought we knew everything, and neither one of us knew anything. And so, boy, was that really a hard 5 years. Really, really hard. But, you know, I had to learn that I wasn't really qualified to be in authority if I didn't know how to come under authority. And so maybe some of you right now are under somebody else's authority, and you don't like what they're telling you to do. You don't think it's right. You don't think it's fair. You're really positive that you know more than they do. And of course, every decision they make, if it were you, you wouldn't do it that way. And so I kind of had to learn that where I didn't have responsibility, I didn't need to have an opinion. You want me to say that again? Where I didn't have responsibility, I didn't need to have an opinion. And so then God let us know that it was time to take the ministry and go north, south, east, and west, except nobody knew me, north, south, east, or west, or cared. And so we live in St. Louis, so we went to North St. Louis and had a meeting once a month. East St. Louis had a meeting once a month. South St. Louis had a meeting once a month. And West St. Louis had a meeting once a month. Let me tell you something. All you have to do is step out in real childlike obedience to God and just do the very best that you know how to do and just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. And listen to what I'm going to say. Learn what God wants you to learn along the way. Many of you are going through things right now that you just are refusing to embrace. And no matter how hard you try, you're not getting away from it. And it's an experience that you don't like, but it may be an experience that you need for the next level of influence where you're going to be. So I want to talk to you tonight about the value of experience. Proverbs 3:13. Happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experience. I love that. You know, we have more word and spiritual knowledge available to us today than at any other time in history. And we just know a lot. But it's interesting to me, for all that people know, how many people's lives, not everybody, but how many people's lives are still just so unbelievably messed up. Amen. I know that's not you, but some people's. And, you know, when you're in ministry, you always have people come to you and they want an answer for their problem, and you tell them, and they've heard it preached, and they've had prayer. And, you know, I almost got kind of aggravated toward the end of last year. And I just thought, you know what? When people know what to do and they won't do it, there's really not anything else that you can tell them. And so maybe there's just one person here in the house tonight, not many, I'm sure, but maybe just one person here in the house tonight that you keep going around the same mountain over and over and over and over, and you keep looking for some way to avoid going through. You can go around mountains, or you can let God take you through them and get the experience that you need, so you come out on the other side experienced enough to influence somebody in a greater way. Amen? Amen. If you go to apply for a job, no matter what kind of education you can have 3 degrees behind your name. One of the first things they're going to ask you is, do you have any experience? And if so, how much experience do you have? Well, I'm 73 now, and so I can tell you that I've got a lot of experience because I've been married 50 years. That gives you a lot of experience. By the way, my husband's sitting over there so faithful. Dave, wave at him. And I've been teaching God's word for 41 years, and I can say that a serious student of God's word. So I'm just going to tell you this, and it's not a statement of pride. I know a lot. And I don't just know a lot because I've got it underlined in my Bible. I know a lot because I have walked it out in my life. And I've been through a lot of really hard things, a lot of really good things. And I can tell you that when you're going through something, if you'll go through it and let God use it, it will be material for you to be promoted on the next level that you're headed to. God looks for the same thing. He looks for people with experience. You see, before I went to work at the church in St. Louis, I got 5 years experience dealing with people and just doing it with a right motive, not getting paid for it, having financial needs, and just being faithful, being faithful, being faithful. And then after 5 years at the church, then God sent me out to kind of be my own boss under his leadership and do what I felt like that he wanted me to do. But when God is looking for somebody to promote, which, by the way, God always has positions open in the kingdom. There's openings right now. And the eyes of God roam to and fro, looking for someone in whom he might show himself strong, whose heart is perfect toward him. You don't even have to have a perfect performance, but you need to be a kind of person that really, really wants God's will. And you really are willing to go through and do whatever you believe God wants you to in order to end up where he wants you to be. So God looks for the same thing. When Moses was looking for some people to help him, God said to him in Deuteronomy 1:13, "Choose wise, understanding, experienced, and respected men according to your tribes, and I will make them heads over you." Formal education is good, but wisdom and experience is so much better. I don't say this for any reason other than just to tell you, I have a high school education. I didn't get to go to college. Now, I do have a handful of college degrees, but they were honorary degrees given to me, and I don't know what you think, but I think that's the best way to get them. Praise God. I got them lined up on the wall. Actually, to tell you the truth, I didn't put one of them on the wall. You know why? Those things are not what impresses God. And we need to make sure that we're not trying to impress people with those things, but we actually have the goods and we're bearing the fruit and we're doing what God wants us to do. Now, Proverbs 20:29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men / women is their gray head." We're not going to talk about gray hair tonight. You'll never know if I have any or not. But it says, it suggests wisdom and experience. So here's the thing. The older you are, the more experience you're supposed to have. And to be honest, if things are working right, The older you get, the more experience you have, the more people younger than you should hang on to every word that you say and want to learn everything that you know. There's nothing that irritates me more than some sweet person in their 20s who says to me, "Oh, you just think that way because of the generation you came from." And you know, sometimes when they say it, it's with an attitude, and it's the attitude that I don't like. Like I'm some kind of antiquated, don't know anything because I'm in my 70s now. Let me tell you something. In my 70s, I'm smarter than you are in your 20s. Amen. And any person in here who's in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, man, when you get around somebody that's got more experience than you do, don't ever be critical and judgmental of them. Sure, they may not be right about everything, but hang on to every little piece of wisdom that you can get. Now, Hebrews chapter 5, 8, and 9. One of my favorite places in the Bible. I love to use this, and it, to me, it's just phenomenal. Although he was a son, he being Jesus, he learned active special obedience through what he suffered. So Jesus was never disobedient, but what he learned was what it costs to be obedient. You know, if you really are going to be obedient to God, it's going to cost you a little bit. What I mean by that is it's not always going to be comfortable. And watch verse 9. And his completed experience, everybody say experience. And his completed experience making him perfectly equipped, he became the author and the source of eternal salvation to all those who heed and obey him. So very plainly it's saying Jesus had to go through things. And the things that he went through gave him experience, and that experience gave him the equipment that he needed to actually be our Savior. We need experience. Everybody say experience.
Experience.
All right. Let me talk to you about the value of personal experience with God. You know, the experience that we need is not something that somebody else can download on us. No matter how much I stand up here and talk about experience tonight, in order for it to really be valuable to you, you have to go out and do life and get your own experience. I've got mine. How many people say, "Boy, I wish I was young again and know what I know now"? But see, that's not possible. The only way you're going to know is by experience. In Exodus 29, 45, and 46, he said, "I will dwell among the Israelites and I will be their God. And they shall know from personal experience that I am the Lord their God who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt." Deuteronomy 8:3. "And he humbled you and he allowed you to hunger." Uh-oh. He didn't give you everything you wanted when you wanted it. "He humbled you." Uh-oh. That's painful. "And allowed you to hunger. And he fed you with manna that you didn't even know where it was going to come from. Nor did your fathers know. That he might make you." See, sometimes God has to make us, doesn't he? "That he might make you recognize and personally know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." Now, because I've been at this for 41 years, and I've done just about everything wrong that you could do wrong, and I've learned by experience that we're either going to do it God's way or it's not going to work. And I've learned by experience that I can't change his mind. No matter how much I argue, no matter how much I cry, no matter how many times I threaten to quit and give up, I'm not going to change God's mind. And so I have learned by personal experience that God is faithful. And so I want to tell you one story. This is just one thing that happened to me in the earlier years of my ministry that helped me to understand how faithful God was. See, you never experience the faithfulness of God if you don't have a problem that's bigger than you can solve. Does anybody in the house tonight have a problem that's bigger than you can solve? Well, you know what? That puts you directly in line for a miracle then, doesn't it? So 25 years ago, went to the doctor for a checkup. They said I had a tumor in my breast, took a biopsy. I'm a faith person. Everything's going to come back fine. Well, everything didn't come back fine. I had cancer, and it was a very fast-growing type of cancer. And so back then, they didn't do things the way they do now. They did them a little more radically, and so I had to have a mastectomy. So that meant that I couldn't work for a while. Well, our ministry was very small at the time. We were still doing the north, south, east, and west, and not having very many people north, south, east, or west. And David quit his job. We were both in ministry. I didn't have a job. So our income depended on me being able to preach. Well, I wasn't going to be able to preach for a while. And we had a small office and a few employees, so their income depended on me being able to preach. And so I was really scared. Has anybody here ever been really scared? Really, you know, you just think, what am I going to do if God doesn't do something? What am I going to do? And those things are hard, but they're experiences that God, I don't believe for one minute that God gave me cancer, but I do believe that he used it to teach me something that I needed to go to the next level that he wanted to take me to. Amen? And so, sitting in our living room one night, in a recliner, I mean, I had drains hanging out of my body. I was not comfortable. It was, you know, I was just in pain and very uncomfortable. Knew I wasn't going to be able to work for a while. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the doorbell rang. And I didn't answer the door. Somebody else answered the door. And they brought this man in that I didn't know. He had introduced himself. And he was a local pastor. And we'd heard of him but didn't know him. And he simply said, we're selling our building. We're not going to be in ministry anymore. We're moving to another state. And when you have a ministry and you sell a piece of property that people have given offerings to buy, you can't just sell that and take that money. You have to give it to other ministries. At least if you're honest, that's what you do. And just saying. And so, because you know what? There's a lot of things that we can do that nobody will ever know that we did, but God always knows. God always knows. And so they had this sum of money that they couldn't keep. They needed to distribute it. And so they said they felt like that we were one of the ministries that God wanted them to give some money to. And the guy hands us, we didn't know him, never seen him, hands us a $10,000 check and shook our hand and said good night. Well, wow, God is faithful. Woo, God is good. Hallelujah. But see, that and many other experiences, everybody say experience. Many other experiences like that has helped me now to come to a point after all these years where when things like that happen, I don't experience that kind of fear because I've got experience with God. I don't just have trust God scriptures underlined. I've got experience with God to know that I know that I know that he may not do what I want him to, but he will do something. He will always take care of us and not let us down. Always. Psalm 119:7. This is such a great scripture. I will praise and give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn by sanctified experiences. That's what the Amplified Bible says. When I learn by sanctified experiences your righteous judgments, your decisions against, and punishment for particular lines of thought and conduct. So he's basically saying, okay, you're going to go through stuff. And if you don't do it my way, the way I tell you to, it's not going to turn out very good. But we don't get that until we have to go through and go through, go through. And then we finally learn, oh, God is right. If he says, do this and you'll be blessed, then if we do that, we'll be blessed. And if he says, don't do that or you won't be blessed, and then we don't do that, then we're not blessed. And so I want to read this again because I want you to get this. I will praise and give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn by sanctified experience. You know what? Sanctified means made holy. So God can take some of the most awful, most painful things. And it's not something that he did to you, but he can take that and he can sanctify it for your use and actually use it as something to educate you for the next level of influence that he has in your life. Come on, somebody's got to give God praise. And so God didn't give me cancer, but he sanctified that experience for me. And it what? It brought me closer to him. There's nothing that brings you closer to God than pain that is so bad that you don't know what you're going to do. Because when you're like that, you either go under or you go over. And if you go on with God, there's an intimacy with him that you cannot get from anybody's preaching or anybody's book or just underlining scriptures. The only way you get it is by going through things. I want to encourage you tonight, don't be so quick to despise everything you're going through. I better say that 2 or 3 times because it's probably like, I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that. I came here tonight for you to tell me how I could stop this in my life. Well, here's what I'm saying. Why don't you just pray like this? God, I would sure love it if you'd remove this. But if you're not going to, then I'm asking you to sanctify it. I'm asking you to sanctify this and use it to make me a better person and use it to equip me so you can get all the value out of me that you possibly can while I'm on my journey here on earth. Amen. So, here's a handful of things I've learned. And I know this by experience. I know that painful and unjust things that happen to us, which they do, if we trust God and we continue to do what we believe he's asking us to do, all things will work out for our good. And I can tell you, to me, that's not just a scripture that I can quote in church. Everybody gets excited when you share that scripture. But I can tell you, it's true. Amen. It's not just an exciting scripture, it's true. Now, there's an if there. All things work out for good to those who love God and want his will in their lives. You know, I can look back at the sexual abuse from my dad, which lasted 12 to 15 years, and the story's pretty bad. And for a long time, I just thought, well, if this wouldn't have happened to me, and if this wouldn't have happened to me, and if this wouldn't have happened to me. And you know what? I can stand here tonight and tell you I'm not even sorry now that it did. You know why? Because God has sanctified that, and he's used it to make me the person I am today. And it actually, I'll be honest with you, some of the stuff that I've went through is what qualifies me to stand here and talk to you tonight. Amen. Joseph, such a great example of somebody who went through so many unfair, unreasonable things. But he said, what they meant for harm, God intended for good. So I want to just throw this out to you, and I just want you to really think about this. We don't have time to talk about it a lot, but this is something that has really helped me. You know, sometimes God will let you go through something that's pretty painful, pretty unfair. He could deliver you, but he chooses not to. Simply because he's equipping you to be able to help somebody else. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. He didn't need to go through what he went through. He was the Son of God. But in his humanity, he had to go through And we have to go through some of those same things because we also need that equipment. I really believe with all my heart that many of the things that I went through, God could have stopped them, but he didn't. And the reason why he didn't, because he wanted me when I stood up here, and not only here, but most of you know I'm on television basically pretty much everywhere. And if you're going to do that, you better have something to say. And you better have a little experience to back it up. Because that's something you can't just fake it till you make it. Amen? And those are the things that have qualified me and given me something actually to say that have some depth and some value. So I just want to, let me say it again. If God's choosing not to move what's going on in your life yet, and he will when he's done with it. He will at the right time. And I'm not saying it's fair. Maybe somebody right now is mistreating you. You know, the church that I worked at for 5 years, and I mean, I'm still friends with them, so it's okay for me to share this. He was young, he was 26, and he was a great teacher, but he just didn't treat people very good. I don't know, but you know, when I was 26, I didn't treat people very good either. Well, I could not understand why God didn't deal with him. Come on, are any of you in a situation now where somebody's not treating you right and you just don't understand why God is not dealing with them? How can you let them treat me like that? Why is this happening? I don't understand. This is a man of God that's in ministry. How can you let him do some of those things that he does? Well, I'll tell you something. What he did wasn't right. And he would probably say that now too. It wasn't right and it was very painful. But it's one of the main reasons today why I have a reverential fear of mistreating people. There's nothing that nothing aggravates me worse than to see somebody in ministry that mistreats people, that talks down to people, that doesn't treat them right, that doesn't appreciate them. Sometimes we can't learn anything except by having it happen to us and say, I don't ever want to treat anybody else like that. God took that wrong experience and he sanctified it for me, and now it helps me every day of my life to treat people better. So at 36, boy, I thought that I knew so much. At 36, I thought that success, prosperity, being on staff at my church, and what other people thought of me, and being admired, were the most important things in the world. But after going through lots of things, joyful and painful, I've now learned that the most important thing in the world is being right in the middle of God's will, no matter where that's at, or what you're doing, or what people think. At 40, I must have thought that being right was extremely important, because I certainly engaged in lots of arguments trying to prove my point in every disagreement. Let's put up a scripture. I want you to see this. 2 Timothy 2:23. I love the Amplified Bible. But refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questions. For you know they foster strife and breed quarrels. Come on, I look back now and I think some of the stuff that I argued with people about and started real problems in relationships over, when I look back now, I think that was not important at all. It wasn't even anything worth messing with. The petty things that Christians fight about to try to prove that they're right are pretty amazing. Amen. And so, one of the things that I found out in Scripture, and I mean, I really like this. Do you know, I can't find one place in the Bible where Jesus ever tried to prove that he was right about anything. Do you ever start any arguments trying to prove you're right? Nope, I got the wrong bunch of people. Well, maybe the next crowd coming in will behave better than you are. I don't know. Have you ever just spent a whole day mad because people wouldn't realize that you were right? Come on. Jesus never, ever, ever tried to prove that he was right about anything. You know what he would say if somebody accused him? Whatever you think. Whatever you think. You know why? Because he knew who he was. And I'll tell you something else that I've learned in my journey. There's nothing more valuable than being secure. Being insecure is an absolute constant torment. Because somebody constantly has to make us feel like we're okay. And God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to have our security in him, to know who we are in him, and not spend our life trying to prove to everybody else that we're okay. At about the age of 30, I thought I knew everything. I was about 50 when I found out I didn't know anything. At 30, I knew what was wrong with everybody. By the time I was 60, I realized I didn't know much at all, and that my opinion about people was not anything that God was even remotely interested in. I remember proudly teaching my 4-part series on humility. And I do. I remember that series on humility and how proud I was of my knowledge about humility. I remember racing a crippled man in McDonald's for the last booth while I was in the middle of teaching my 8-part series on love. See, it's time for us to stop just underlining it in the Bible, buying the CD or the DVD or the book, taking it home, putting it on our shelves, and being proud of ourselves because we've got this huge Christian library. You ever look at your library and just feel a little spiritual? Or you've got a bunch of stuff underlined in your Bible, and when the pastor says open up to such and such a verse, if you've got it highlighted, you kind of secretly hope the person next to you notices it. How truly spiritual you are. Lord, help us. Okay, I got time for about 2 more things here. One of the things that I learned, and I want you to listen to me when I say this. Forgiving people who've hurt you is probably one of the single most powerful things that you will ever do. If you want to talk about something that will bring you into a new level of influence and something that will dramatically increase the anointing on your life, and open the door for blessings. You just have somebody who really, really hurt you and mistreated you. And you forgive them, not because you think it's fair or not because you even want to, but because God asks you to. And I'm telling you what, you're on your way to some great things. I watched a movie recently. And boy, it was kind of a slow-moving movie, but there was one sentence in it that was worth me watching the whole thing, and this was what the man said. He said, you only have to forgive one time. But if you're going to hate somebody and be angry, you have to do that all day long, every day, the rest of your life. Amen? I think that all of us can benefit from what God's saying to us tonight. Yes. By simply making a decision that with God's help, we're going to start embracing some of the things that he wants us to go through. Hey, listen, I resist the devil. I don't want him running my life. But when I ask God to get rid of something and he doesn't, then I've learned to ask him to take it and work it out for my good and to sanctify it so I can have the experience that I need to do the next thing that he wants me to do. Amen. Come on, give God a praise. Well, I'm so glad that you came tonight and that I got to be here, and we're just going to invite the campus pastors to come. Thank you. We're going to invite the campus pastors to come forward now and close the service, and I hope I get to see you again real soon.